All right, so welcome to the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes a dive into believers' daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. So my name is Pastor Dennis, and I am joined here with Ryan Green. So today we'll be talking about healthy change. So it's an amazing topic. I'm excited about it, especially with a new year. I got lots of changes in my life. How about you, Ryan?
I think so.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking specifically about embracing change. So
yeah.
Not just having healthy change, but kind of like accepting it into your life and being happy about it.
Oh, embracing change. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about change, and oftentimes we think about change in a negative connotation, right?
Mm.
And when we're going to look at the Bible today, we're going to see that we can embrace like a negative view of change in our life. And really the ability to do that comes from, you know, God himself.
Mm.
But also we have the ability to look forward into the good things that change can produce, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of times we become scared of change because it kind of changes what we're expecting.
Yeah.
We have like an ability to look, we could get into like a groove and we're like, okay, this is it. And we go on autopilot and then we're like autopiloting through our day. And then all of a sudden something changes and we're like, I don't like that because I like being on autopilot.
Yeah.
I think change forces us to kind of step out of our like just going through the motions, and we have to like grapple and deal with what is happening in our lives when change happens.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because we're so busy trying to produce like a predictable outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that if we just kind of massage or refine our like procedure or our daily routine little by little, then we'll, you know, have a knowable outcome that is great. But oftentimes we find that sometimes the drastic way to have the most and the best change is actually that's profitable for us happens through like the things that we didn't plan on, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that that's like one thing about change is sometimes it comes without us expecting it, and that it can be the most jarring to us at the beginning. But once we kind of accept it and we let it happen, it can be like a great surprise. Like we can be surprised. We can have joy in that surprise.
So a lot of people are making New Year's resolutions, you know?
Oh yeah.
Some people say that it's not a very Christian thing to do. Some people are doing, they're defining their future year by a certain word, you know, but all these things are really the idea behind them is change, right?
Yeah. And I think there's like a little bit, there's an interesting dichotomy, like they're looking for change that's about them. And I was thinking about this today, like these like New Year's resolutions are about taking something out of your life. They're very rarely about adding something to your life.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose a part of me. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop using Instagram. I'm going to stop using TikTok. I'm going to stop drinking coffee. I'm going to stop drinking whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm taking something out of my life. And I was thinking like, well, what if we had like a resolution to add something to my life?
Yeah. Like adding weight?
Not weight, but adding like the Bible or Bible study. And maybe if we looked at it, not like a New Year's resolution, but as like a lifestyle change. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's getting true.
Did you make any New Year's resolutions?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you?
I mean, I could lie and say I did. And
oh,
make something
that wouldn't
funny.
Be good. I think the Bible says we shouldn't lie.
Yeah, and I like New Year's resolutions. I don't make them consciously, actually, but I do find myself, you know, desiring for there to be some sort of change. And oftentimes it is like to get rid of something, maybe to get rid of weight, so I can, you know, feel better, to have more energy. Those things are normal, but really, I think our topic today is really like how to embrace the change.
Mm-hmm.
And these are trivial things on one hand, but these are also very real and practical things that for a lot of people are very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to understand how to deal with changes, both positive and negative changes.
Mm.
And once they learn how to deal with that, then it really can fuel them to succeed in their walk with God. But I think the foundation of that, I mean, and like you said it just a second ago about New Year's resolutions, like the foundation of that isn't for me to be self-centered and try to change myself.
Mm.
It's actually something very different. And I believe that it is something that's designed for us to point upward and maybe even outward.
Yeah.
Like stop looking in and start looking out and up and seeing who God is.
Yeah.
And that actually gives us a great capacity to deal with these changes in our life.
Yeah, I think when I look at change in my life and other people's lives in the church, I think it's usually coming from God. Like God is coming into our lives and changing something for his will and his purpose in our life.
Yeah.
It's almost like a lot of times we say, oh, change is so painful. And we look at it from a human perspective.
Yeah.
But then we kind of forget that God is doing the change in order to like maybe accomplish his will in a different way.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe one angle to look at it when we're talking about embracing change.
Yeah. There's a verse I wanted to read. It's from Malachi chapter 3. Verse 6, and it's like a very good verse to memorize. Maybe some of you know it by heart. Maybe some people have never heard this verse before, but this is one verse that we use to talk about God's immutability, meaning that he cannot change. It says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." And I really love this verse because if God is who God is, if he's going to be God, then he always was, always is, and always will be in a state of perfection.
Wow.
Meaning like he's never able to change. And we can think about that in several different areas. I think about his character.
Yep.
Like his character has always been the same. And you could break this character down even into smaller little subsections. His love, you know, his grace, his forgiveness. Oh, yeah. I mean, even in our ministry, we talk about dispensationalism, but we could use that theological term to put God in like seven or whatever many boxes of dispensations. But when you look at all of them, you see elements of the same thing. Like you see elements of grace all through the Old Testament, even though that it was, you know, under the law or under the Mosaic law. There's still grace everywhere.
Yeah. This verse, the last kind of phrase, "O sons of Jacob are not consumed," it kind of reminds me of in Exodus 34, God is talking about his character, and he says that he's rich in mercy, abounding in steadfast love for generations, and he's slow to anger. And like this verse is consistent with that. Like they're not consumed because of his mercy, his grace. And that kind of talks about his unchanging nature, like that thing that he said in Exodus, whatever, 6,000 years ago. It's still true today.
Yeah.
And throughout each dispensation, it's always been true. God's character is always the same.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing. Like when we're building this kind of argument for the immutability of God in order to talk about change in that sort of way.
Yeah. So when we mention this word, I mean, it's a big word, immutable. What do you think, you know, that means?
Yeah, I think you did a good job like saying that like it talks about how God doesn't change.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Like immutable, God is never going to, his essence is never going to change.
Yeah.
The way that he maybe works has changed, like through the dispensations.
The
expression of his character through the dispensations has changed. Like the conscious dispensation is different than the law dispensation.
Yeah.
So I think that a good way to define immutability is like the inability to change in their essence and character.
Yeah. I mean, we said it already, but I mean, I really like that point that it also kind of points to the fact that God is in a constant state of perfection.
Yes.
Like, cause if God was able to become better, that means at some point he was worse.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, that doesn't make him any different than any other religious God.
Yeah.
So why should I believe in him?
Yeah.
You know, versus being a Christian just to become a better person.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing, is like, we're talking about change, and change will happen in us, but it's not to become a better person. And that's what separates Christianity from other religions.
Yeah.
Is we're not looking at God as someone who was imperfect, becoming more perfect, and he's just more advanced than us, so we trust him.
Yeah.
You know, so he's always in a constant state of perfection.
Yeah. I mean, if we were looking towards a God and following a God that needed to be perfected, there's not really a point. Like,
yeah.
where is there any infallibility in the scriptures written by that God?
Yeah.
There is no infallibility, because if he is finite, if he is growing, he's becoming better, then like what he says cannot be trusted.
Yeah. Yeah, and this brings another verse to mind. Like, you know, Paul said it, I mean, speaking about the love of God, he says, what could separate us from the love of God? Mm. And he has a whole list of things. And that's like another verse that I believe really points to the fact that God is not changing. He's immutable. Mm. So when we're looking at God, he is not able to change. And that, in my life, is my, like, foundation. That is my anchor. That is my rock. That is my launching pad where I can move forward in life.
Yeah.
Because when we look about it, like, the opposite of immutable is like the fact that we are mutable.
Yes.
You know, so we as human beings are very capable of change.
Yes. Yep. Yep. We're prone to it.
Yeah. And actually, that's the scary part, actually, is like that we are so, we could be good one day and then we could be like in prison the next day.
Yep.
And that happens very quickly.
Yeah, like our emotions, our moods. You could, in the morning, you could be happy. Yeah. In the afternoon, you're like a mess. And that's a part of our mutable nature. Like, yeah, we're always changing. And our character can change. Our everything about us can change.
Yeah.
And that's like interesting. But I thought this statement that you kind of, we were talking about before we started recording, if we lean on God's immutability, it helps us deal with change. What is your reaction to that statement?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it this way, like because of God's steadfastness and his unchanging character, I know that in the presence of troubles and trials and things that I declare difficult, that I have something that I can lean on.
Wow.
You know, Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your understandings. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard that word lean is actually the same. You know, it's also used when King Saul, you know, leaned on the sword and killed himself.
Yes, yeah.
Right? So sometimes I've heard it said this way, like when we are leaning on our own understandings, we are committing spiritual suicide.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so If we are kind of trusting in ourselves to maneuver in our life through the ever-changing world, and whether the change is good or bad, or even it could be neutral, right? It's because the way that I grew up is not the way you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we could sit there and talk about change and how much better it was, you know, when I was younger versus now. Mm-hmm. Like those conversations with that kind of an attitude and that kind of, you know, presence, I would say, or atmosphere or energy, really, it doesn't do anything. It's negative. Mm-hmm. It's without faith. It's not from the character of God, because God is the same now. He was the same 60 years ago.
Yep.
He was the same 100 years ago, 120 years ago, during some of those amazing revivals in the early 1900s. I mean, we are serving the same God who doesn't change. So if I am depending on a God who is immutable, then I find that in my life, the changes are nothing.
Yeah. Well, I think about how in the Gospels, Jesus develops this idea of like him being the shepherd, and like followers of him are sheep.
Yeah.
And when like in our Christian life, when we're looking towards God and our gaze is upon him, we're looking at him and we're letting him lead us, we're following him. And when our focus is on him, wherever we go is not such a big issue, because we're focused on him. That's our thing. Our thing is following God. Our thing is being the sheep following the shepherd.
Yeah.
So we're following the shepherd's voice. And as we follow him, we're like, oh, things are happening. They're changing. But that's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on following God and his will for my life and his plan for my life.
Yes.
And as I follow him, and that's like what I'm focused on. That is my, that's my goal. My end goal is God. I'm looking at God. And if I'm looking at him, like what happens around me is not so important, because I'm seeing that my like focus is God.
Yeah.
And whenever I look around, I see I'm with different people. It's like, oh, I might as well get used to it, because I'm following God. Like that's my end goal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, God's our treasure, right? And yeah. Where our treasure lies, mm-hmm. and your heart will lie also.
Exactly, yeah.
So if we find ourselves leaning on something that is not God, it becomes very dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a good practical example. You know, as some as you know, I was on the mission field for several years in China. And some people ask, you know, why China? Why China? Did you have a dream? And, you know, how did God reveal China to you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, honestly, I was following God and there was an open door in Asia.
Yeah.
And I said, why not?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big change.
Like, that's a big
Baltimore
change.
Baltimore to China. And like that change happened because you were following God.
Yeah.
And you kind of just like walked right into it.
Yeah. And kind of just, you know, that kind of drives the point home what you were saying is,
yeah.
You know, we were looking at the shepherd.
Yeah.
And we were focused on what God was doing, what God was saying. Mm. And honestly, the where wasn't such an important thing in our life. And then later on, we found out that it was God's, you know, perfect will.
Mm.
Like sometimes, like the will of God, this is interesting. Sometimes the will of God is never revealed. Like the perfect will of God is revealed to you in hindsight.
Yep.
Like you're looking like, what is God's will? What is God's perfect will for my life? And you're struggling. And then it's after, you know, you go through the experience, you realize, well, that really was what God wanted for my life.
Yeah. Or like there's something you really wanted to do and you're preparing for it and you're going to do it and you're getting right to do it. And all of a sudden something happens and you can't do it. 6 months later, you look back, you're like, whoa, thank God I didn't do that, because like God has done so many things in my life and used me and has taught me something about myself, like during that time. And looking back, and if I had done the thing I was planning to do, if I had done that, I would be in a completely different place spiritually.
Yes.
And I think that kind of drives the point home that we need to be looking towards God. And when we look towards God and his immutability, and we focus on his immutability and not our own mutability, not our own like ability to change, if we look towards God, he's going to lead us into a place and we're going to not be so obsessed with the fact that we are changing or that things around us are changing.
Yeah. You know, and we were talking earlier and thinking about this way too, like God's immutability and my mutability, like which one I lean on really depends or will produce a certain result on how I respond to change in my life.
Would you say that leaning on God's immutability is like maybe a characteristic of a spirit-filled Christian, and leaning on your own mutability would be a characteristic of a carnal Christian?
Yeah, or I would use the word immaturity, immaturity maybe.
Okay.
Carnal Christian, I don't, that's maybe a strong word. Of course, let's say it. I want to be strong and make sure we drive the...
Yeah, we got to drive this point in.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, as you mature as a believer, you learn to trust God more.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a learning curve in spiritual maturity. So I would say someone who leans on God's immutability has matured in their faith, and somebody who is like very dependent on their own understanding, they are very immature.
Yeah.
And sometimes that immaturity is driven by carnality, or maybe that immaturity is driven by lack of submission or humility. Mm. There are lots of reasons for immaturity in our walk with God. But I mean, there is going to be change in our life no matter what. Now, here's the thing is, I mean, what kind of changes can we say that happen in our life? You know, there are, you know, the simple day-to-day changes, you know, New Year's resolutions, you know, I think they said 90% of them will not make it 3 weeks.
Yep.
Or 3 months, or it was three something.
Yeah.
It's very, very short.
Or something like that. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, here are people that are making resolutions to change weights, change, you know, their pant size, get more muscle. And these are the kind of changes. Do these things matter? Yes, they do. But Paul tells us, like, what do these things really offer me versus, you know, the things of God?
Yeah.
You know, but then there are other changes that are very important, like jobs.
Yeah.
That become very serious. Where you're going to live.
Yep.
Schools.
Relationships. Church.
I mean, yeah, some people could be changing churches. Some people maybe listening aren't even saved, and them becoming a believer is another change.
Yeah, that's a huge change.
So then you're talking about changing your habits, getting rid of alcohol, other addictions, pornography.
Yeah, your time is changing. The way that you budget your time is changing. Yeah.
But then there's another threat of change too, and that is what the devil is offering, right? Mm. And we're living in a cultural war right now where there is a lot of changes in our culture, a lot of things that are abnormal but considered normal. Yeah. And we are being told you got to be okay with it.
Yeah.
And it's becoming the new standard. And like, and here's what I want to say is like, there are some things that are so important, but you cannot distinguish those important things outside of who God is.
Mm.
Because if I am outside of who God is, then to me, the important thing is self. So weight trumps the cultural change.
Yeah.
Or weight trumps the addiction that I have in my life.
Yeah.
You know, weight trumps the church that I go to.
Yeah.
You know, but when I'm following God, and I have God's character and God's convictions and these leaning on the immutability of who God is, that helps me discern really what change is not good.
Wow.
And what change is good. Because there are some things like in my life as a mutable human being that still should not change.
Yeah.
Like my walk with God should only change for the better, right?
It should always be getting closer to God, being more like Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like a really an amazing thought.
Yeah.
I mean, but to think about, well, this sin should be acceptable because that's what the church now is saying is acceptable.
Yeah.
Well, I read my Bible and I read this, and then they have a different hermeneutic style. So they are changing the definition of sin. Yeah. And then to change the definition of sin, now they have to change their hermeneutics.
Yeah.
And then, or they're saying that God himself is changing.
Yeah, well, and then you start changing what God has said. And then when you start changing, if you believe that God's word is infallible, if you start changing what he says, then you're losing that like belief in his infallible word.
Yeah.
And then you're starting to change
God. Immutable.
And then there's no reason for you to follow him if he's immutable.
Yeah. But then I find myself spiraling away from who God is and away from God's will. Because I have now adhered to something that is not a part of what God says. I've changed away from who God is.
Yeah. Wow.
You know?
Yeah. So I think maybe we could say the statement that when we are embracing, like if we want to embrace change, we can lean on the immutability of God's nature and character, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if we want to embrace change, we lean upon God's immutability and his inability to change so that we can, as finite humans, we can, if our eyes are on God, we can look around and be like, oh, change is, I can like change. I can give change a big old hug.
Yeah. Well, maybe you don't like it actually, but you are able to embrace it.
So yeah.
You hug it, but unwillingly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something too. Like let's kind of tackle that. Like, how do we deal with change that is from God that we don't like in our natural? Like, what is one way we can deal with it? Like, how do we look at change that we don't like? Like, we see something, like, I see some things sometimes, I'm like, oh, I hate that. Like, I really don't like that. Like, how do I, like, go from that first opinion to, like, accepting what God is saying about that situation or about the change in my life?
Yeah, so, I mean, I just automatically go to a very extreme case, maybe. You look at the first century church. They are changing from paganism, idolatry, from Judaism, and they're changing from that to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first century, they are being persecuted.
Mm.
Right? So there's this big change, and that actually itself was a cultural war, right? A cultural change.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it took Asia, it took, you know, Europe by storm.
Yeah.
This idea of who Christ is.
Wow.
And it threatens the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And their response to that change was to, you know, get rid of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And how did the Christians deal with that? You know, how did they deal with persecution? And they didn't embrace it. They didn't look forward to death. Their living conditions were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you read these stories that when they're being, I believe it was Polycarp, right? When he was being burned to the stake, he was singing.
Yeah.
You know,
lots of stories like that.
Yeah. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Yeah. DC Talk had a book called Jesus Freaks.
Yep.
You know, all similar stories about how people have suffered for their faith.
Yeah.
And we find that, you know, this immutable God gives us a great ability to go through through change in the sense of suffering.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and the reason why I give the extreme case, because in our American life, and most people listening here, they are not experiencing anything like that at all.
Yeah.
So if God could deal with the extreme, can he not also deal with my, you know, little change here?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to belittle the change that's happening in people's lives. You know, we get emails about their spouse dies and they're mm-hmm. dealing with a change. Yeah. That does not alleviate the weight yeah. off that person's shoulders on how much suffering is in their life from the loss of a loved one.
Yeah.
But what it does do is says, God gave the first century church such great courage, such great ability to trust in him. Like God wow. gave that to them. So can God help me cope with this situation right now? And the answer is, yeah. of course he can.
Well, and that also makes me think of like how the Holy Spirit was given to be a comforter.
Yes.
And like the word parakaleo, like he's coming alongside.
Coming alongside.
And I think like another part of embracing change is like the aspect of the Holy Spirit coming in and being our comforter, being our guide into the change.
Yeah.
Like giving us capacity to deal with something that maybe we didn't have capacity to deal with, a change we didn't expect, like the loss of a loved one or like an abrupt change in church or an abrupt change in job. Like the Holy Spirit can come alongside in a very practical way and lead us yeah. into that change and help us deal with it, cope with it, and comfort us through that.
Yeah. You know, and this is something too that's really amazing is like as humans, we tend not to embrace change because it's very uncomfortable because it kind of signals instability in our life,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
So we are always trying to produce something that we can manufacture, like our own kind of like safety nets to protect yeah. us in our life. Wow. And that's why we are like habitual beings.
Yeah.
Like we like the same thing for breakfast every day. Mm-hmm. I worked with a guy, it was a bagel every morning.
Yep.
You know, from Dunkin' Donuts. And, you know, and it's not a bad thing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a habit,
mm-hmm.
right? But what we're trying to do is this false sense of security that we're putting in our life to replace the extreme case. Again, the extreme case, not the bagel situation, but the extreme case is we're creating a false sense of security.
Yeah.
So we no longer have to trust in the great I am.
Well, I think that's like an amazing point. Like, I think that idea of like me trying to create or humanity trying to create their own stability, trying to create security. That's kind of like the issue of Adam and Eve. Like the serpent comes to Eve and says, hey, like did God say, did God not say?
Yeah.
Like, and she is questioning the immutability of God. And then she like takes the fruit thinking that she could be like God. And that was her
yeah.
taking a step to deal with her desire to have security, with her desire to have stability. And I think in our daily lives, like you said, like the bagel, like we like to have our days programmed. We like to have our days very planned. We like the ritual of it or the tradition of it. And we get stuck in that. And when it changes, it's very hard for us to get out of it because our little palace is being broken down.
Yeah.
And I think like looking to God is like a way to step out of that.
Yeah. Well, and I think God wants to break those walls down, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he wants to
definitely.
Break down our palace. Yeah. And this is the thing that I really want to put forth for a lot of people, and maybe myself is included, maybe you are included, and people who are listening, we definitely include them. But God wants to break those things down. And if we could really embrace change and live by faith, because, you know, change requires us to live by faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's one thing for God to be immutable.
Yes.
It's another thing to trust in God's immutability.
Yeah. Whoa. That's
so good. A lot of people, maybe they theologically agree with the fact that God is immutable, but they have zero trust.
Yeah.
And imagine if we were to start living by faith in this immutable being that we so-called to claim that we believe.
Yeah, like it's one thing to believe that something exists.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times you go and you're doing evangelism, you ask them, do you believe in God? And they say yes. And then you ask them, have you been to church? And you find out they're not a Christian at all, and their worldview and their understanding, their ideology, but they believe in a higher power. I think there's a difference between believing in God and like having faith in God.
Yeah.
Like you were just saying, like you can believe in something but not trust it for your well-being.
Yeah. You know, one philosophy that I've had since moving back from China is that, you know, I don't want to become like a permanent resident in the pew in church, but I want to treat where I am always as a mission field.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is like, not that I am, you know, going to give up my job, I'm going to give up my car and give up all these things and just preach in the streets all day long. Like, I'm not saying that, but I am saying this, like when I'm on the mission field and I, you don't have money for food, like, and what do? You know, you don't, you know, run to your credit card and go buy food.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on the mission field, you trust in God and a miracle happens. I mean, for us, you know, I've had food like show up at our door, you know, from somebody in the church who just felt led by God to give us some food. And they didn't know how little food we had.
Yeah.
You know, so what I'm saying is like there were these measures like in little milestones in my life where I was trusting in God, and it was normal for us to trust in God.
Yeah.
And then you come home and like, oh, well, I don't have, so my response is to work harder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or to become depressed in my petty little life.
Yeah.
When God, maybe he's saying, I want to break down that palace that you were talking about. I want to break it down, and I'm going to have you trust in me. And now watch what you are going to do when you trust in me.
Yeah. Well, and like you're talking about like trusting in God, how do you think that like being this idea of being desperate for God can affect your like ability to deal with change? How do you think that those two things maybe come together?
Yeah. Well, desperation really comes when you're at the end of yourself.
Yeah.
So we can come to the end of ourselves without being desperate.
Yeah.
But oftentimes it takes extreme, you know, life situations for us to be desperate.
Yeah.
To come to the end of ourselves. You know, it's like almost like we only trust God because he's the last option.
Yeah.
You know, so it's sad. But if we can learn to have that desperation without suffering, you know, how about a guy who has an addiction problem? Maybe they overdose. Now they are at the end of themselves.
Mm.
You know, well, what if they got a hold of God earlier?
Mm.
Like if they were desperate for him without the desperation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The circumstances doesn't always determine the condition of my heart.
Yeah.
So I could be in a very good circumstance, but, you know, consciously make a decision that I am desperate for God and I need him to really help the change in my life that he wants to make.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Versus me being stubborn. You know, I'm from New England, so a lot of people from New England are stubborn.
Yeah.
So we could very easily just get in our habits and just do what we do and be it could be, you know, a terrible situation, right? Because I'm just like, no, this is what we do. And God's like, no, I want you to really follow the change that I am, you know, provoking or I am working in your life.
Yeah.
Not for you to stay here in your little world.
Mm.
And the thing is that God is producing that change. And we said it as in Romans 8, right?
Yeah.
Where that we are being changed in the image of God.
Yeah, we're being conformed into the image of his son, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe it's, I think the writer's name is James Eric, I believe. And he said that the Christian life is defined by constant state of change based on Romans 8.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's like a really awesome point.
I mean, if we are going to be conformed to the image of God, then there has to be a lot of change.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's, I think, of this kind of idea that we say to people, come as you are.
Yeah.
And I think the gospel says to people, come as you are. But I heard, I've always grown up in the church, heard people saying, come as you are. But recently I've heard people say, come as you are, but don't expect to stay there.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, that kind of speaks to what this author is saying, and what the Romans, Paul is saying in Romans, is that like we come as we are to God. Yes. And then when we become saved, we're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that is happening like step by step. And each step, a level of change is happening in my life.
Yes.
And like I'm constantly being changed. I'm being conformed to who Christ is. And that, I think that's an amazing thought about how like change is just consistently happening. And I think sometimes in our lives, we are like we get in the flow of life, and we're just going through day by day. And then something happens and we look back and we're like, whoa, like 6 years ago, I had this same thought came to my head and I had a different reaction.
Yeah.
And today I'm looking at it a completely different way. Like 6 years ago, someone said this to me and I freaked out and I yelled at them. And I got really angry.
I remember.
And then, like maybe in this day today, someone says the same thing to me and I look at them and I walk away, or I say, oh, thank you. And I just walk away and I'm able to deal with it in a different way. That's because the change of God happened in my life. I'm becoming more conformed to the image of Christ. Sanctification is taking hold of me. My soul is becoming richer. I'm growing with God, and I'm seeing that like the things that I looked to in the past, the things that I held dearly to, have been taken away, and I have no remorse for them because change is taking place in my life.
Yeah.
And I see that God has done that change, and I'm able to rejoice. And maybe there's like something in my life that I really loved and now it's gone, and I look back and I can be happy that it's gone, because I know that God did it for my good while he was conforming me to his image.
Yeah. And I think this can flesh out in a very practical way.
Yeah.
Right. Let's think about it. Like in our ministry, you know, we have a church in Frederick, and there is constant change, just because we're a new church. And you know, I think we can embrace that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the same side, you mentioned this word sanctification. Like sanctification is a big part of not only my life, but also of my ministry's life.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you aren't in ministry. Everybody has a ministry, so I want you to think of that very seriously.
Yeah.
But on the other side is maybe some of you think of yourselves more of a family man, or you know, you're a husband or a wife.
Maybe that's your ministry at this point in your walk.
Yes. But that word sanctification also enters in to those areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that there is constant change happening in all areas of these lives. So not only personally, but you think about your family life, you know, with you being a husband or a wife, you at your job, you know, you in your ministry. Like we are to expect change to happen because, again, like James Eric said, like this is the definition of what a Christian is, is like that there is constant change in our life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that learning to embrace that is like an amazing gift.
Yeah.
If we're able to learn how to embrace it.
Yeah.
Now, like very practically, like as we come to a close, what do you think is a practical way that we can learn to embrace change? How can we like learn to love it? Like just kind of boil down what we've been saying to like a little nugget.
Oh, that's a good question. How can we learn to love it? I'll look through the situation and see God.
Whoa. That's a mic drop right there.
So I think so often we are so focused on the change, you know, that we forget to see God. Wow. So just look through it. I mean, that's a definition of hope, right? Is that we're expecting something to attain something good. And for the Christian, the greatest hope is that we attain Christ.
Wow.
So in every situation, whether good or bad, our hope is that Christ is attained in our life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an amazing point that we look past the change and we look at God, who is bringing about the change.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings us back to the idea of like following the shepherd. Like when we're looking at the shepherd, like what is happening around us is not affecting us so much because our goal is God. I think that's like maybe a good way for us to end our discussion, is that like looking towards God helps us deal with the change around us.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we want to look at God, not look at others, not look at circumstances, and not compare.
Yeah.
That's another good word. We didn't mention that, but we're not going to compare our generation to another generation.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the constant focus is God, and the Bible says that we look unto him because he's the author and finisher of our faith. And that's more than him being an example, but it is him being the template.
Yeah.
You know, so if it was just him being an example, we would just follow in his footsteps, and then the outcome would be guaranteed. But him as a template really shows that, you know, that there's a relationship, that we follow him, and we are learning and becoming more like him.
Yeah.
And that's going to really change the rest of our life as we go through changes.
Yeah.
So we can learn to embrace a change.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, whether you're young and you're going to get older, you know, embrace that change. And you know, enjoy what God is doing in your life as you get older. And maybe your ministry changes also because mm-hmm. of your age.
Yep.
But that's okay. You know, very simply, it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we usually go on street evangelism in the summer in Frederick, and now there's change.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can't hit the streets. Nobody's out there, so we got to figure something else out.
Yeah.
Is it the end of the world? No, it's not. You know, we used to go door to door. You know, that's great, but maybe we could use social media also.
Yeah.
Because some things have changed.
Yeah.
But other things have not. And always, in our mutability, always, you know, hone in on God's immutability.
Yep.
Amen?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think focusing, looking to Jesus, that is like such an amazing point. Looking to Jesus, when we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we're able to see change, and maybe it's like an arrow coming at us, and maybe we can step away from the arrow because we're looking to Jesus.
Yes.
And that's our goal. That's what we're looking to attain. We're looking to attain Jesus.
There we go.
Yeah.
So we thank you guys for listening today to the Grace Hour Show. And we really encourage you to continue to listen the rest of the week and hear more about this topic. It's going to be a great show. So please, if you haven't already subscribed to the Grace Hour Show, share it. Let your friends know. This show is an amazing show. It changes lives. And be sure to join us next time.